Hey, it's Bantam. Welcome to the Digital Song Podcast. Just a few quick things before we dive in. First, this is a fiction podcast. More specifically, near future science fiction. Some might call it a techno thriller. It's based on a manuscript for a book that I have been writing for about 10 years, and over that time it evolved. It could have kept growing and changing, but 6 months ago I thought, it's time to release it into the media ether. I always could hear the book as I read the words on the page, and I wondered if others would want to experience it through the medium of sound. So, I am delighted to present it in this auditory format. I originally recorded all of the episodes with my own voice, but it became an extremely onerous task. In the end, I decided to use AI as a force multiplier to speed up creation of this podcast. I thought, since this book focuses on AI as a main feature, it seems applicable that AI be used to create it. Episodes will be released once a week on Fridays. If you like it, please subscribe on whatever platform you get your podcasts. Leave a review. That will facilitate other lovers of tech and fiction to find this crazy narrative adventure. I will be exploring other features to provide to you. In the meantime, if you have thoughts or suggestions, reach out to me on your social media of choice: Twitter, X, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, Mastodon, or YouTube. I'm at Bantam Drexler. This podcast contains fictional depictions of adult themes and content that include violence, sex, and vulgar language that may be unsuitable for kids or triggering for people who have experienced trauma or abuse. Now that the administrative stuff is out of the way, let's hack destiny. Dedicated to Callie Rose, who inspired me, supported me, and encouraged me through this narrative journey. Forward. My father told me a good book is a dream for its reader. I have spent time in the dream worlds constructed by the phrases of my favorite authors. The best books do not have misplaced expressions or strange sentences that could risk waking those who wander the landscapes crafted by the word. This book is three dreams in one: the protagonist's dream, my dream, and the reader's dream. But this book is also a risk. It is built on something beyond the printed ink on a page or text on a tablet, which risks waking the reader from the dream. This book is based on a music playlist. I promise that this is not a gimmick or a contrivance. Over the course of years, I built a playlist on my computer. It was a blend of intense electronic music, deep house, psychedelic alt rock, and trip hop. As I listened to the lyrics of the edgy tunes that I had compiled, a story began to form in my head, and I started to envision Jason's dreams of the Compass Rose tattoo, Rose dead on the divan, and the Pyramid Club. Jason's dream is my dream. It is a dream about New York City, an estuary of time where the past and the future mix. Near future New York City is simultaneously stuck in the past and on the cutting edge of the future. It is a city of opposites and circumstantial relativity. People go there for opportunity, or to ditch their pasts, or to chase their dreams, alone, alongside of millions of others. It is an oxymoronic place of social openness and cliquish exclusivity. It is built upon concrete, metal, and fiber optics. It is an eddy of American and global subcultures that flow around each other. It is the ultra-rich and the destitute mingling on the busy sidewalks or subways. It is the beating heart of America that pumps commerce, cars, and people instead of blood. Near future New York City is a place where language has evolved to efficiently accommodate gender neutrality. His/her is the word for his or hers, and the ungendered honorific M is used instead of Mr. or Miss. Technology has crept into all facets of life. Sexual fluidity is normalized, and self-driving cars have replaced human-driven taxicabs. For the most part, the main characters are race, color, creed agnostic, making them blank slates upon which all readers can impute their imaginations. The common thread of this hopeful yet dystopian near future is music. Inscribing music onto the pages of a book proved challenging for me, but I think I found a way to weave the playlist that inspired the story into the book's pages. The foundational songs are included in a track list in the podcast description, with a link to Spotify if you want to listen. Importantly, each chapter is the title of a song on that playlist that helps carry the narrative. In essence, the table of contents provides a soundtrack for the reader to follow and listen to a parallel story told in music. My grandiose vision is that the story can be more than words on a page. It could transcend the paper and string and glue of a book or the audio of a podcast. It could live intangibly in the digital world, decentralized in shards across servers and systems around the globe, just like the enigmatic artificial intelligence character of the book called Song. I imagine input from each reader making the story into its own meta-world. Readers could provide open-sourced illustrations or non-fungible tokens depicting salient moments like the compass rose tattoo or the pyramid club symbol, and attach those images to a hashtag used throughout the story. As the reader comes across such tags, those images would flash into existence for the reader to examine. Each reader could choose the visual experience that best coincides with his or stylistic preferences, like Steampunk Rose, Hipster Jason, or Grunge Mac. People could purchase the book with cryptocurrency or even pay for artistic content embedded in the story by contributing artists, creating a flowing ecosystem of value for visuals. It could be the first book offered on a cross-media device with a multimedia platform that you hold in your hand to access features like visual art, accompanying music, or even virtual reality with functionality, much like the Song program. The playlist that inspired the story could be imported into the device and play in the ears of the reader right from the page as he or she uses augmented reality glasses or headsets like the Vizzies in the story, to feel senses like smell and touch that have been assigned to scenes in the book, like the smell of salt water and the feeling of chilly wind from the Atlantic blowing across Rose's cheek as she walks down Fort Tilden Beach. Readers could overlay their commentary and interpretations over the words on the page to create offshoots of the story's plot. Someday, when we achieve the immediacy of media with a device like Branch, the device could empower someone to literally experience the story from the perspective of Rose, Jason, or for the more edgy individual, Ezri. But if all those crazy technological ideas make no sense to you, you can still immerse yourself in this dream without them, because at its core, it's a book. Prologue, Evolve. LaDonna. The unsuspecting ant-sized data points strolled along the sidewalks. LaDonna Chambers peered down at the people of the city. They seemed to flow and scurry between the old brick walk-up apartments and shiny glass skyscrapers to the rhythm of the acid jazz song emanating from her hi-fi speakers. She was convinced that each of these people would become a coin in her massive treasure trove of users. The outer glass wall of the Flower Bud Arcology penthouse framed her silhouette as she gazed upon New York City. The rosy smears of afterglow bled into each other like watercolors, while delivery drones buzzed like metal lines of flying geese over the streets. In 2 days' time, her company, Arbor Systems, would unveil a device called Branch that would allow any human to control his or her universal devices, commonly referred to as UDs, with his or thoughts instantly. Not with a finger tap, swipe, or scroll. Not with a voice command, gesture, or picture. With a thought.
When Branch is released,
she thought,
I'll join the pantheon of the greatest minds in history. My fate is to be remembered forever.
When she felt the vibration of her UD, she lifted its screen to her face. The UD displayed a notification banner across the lock screen. Front desk. Remy Darden is here. He says he needs to speak with you urgently. Shall I send him up? Chambers frowned, her thin lips accentuating the acute angles of her spear-shaped jaw.
What does he want?
Darden was Arbor's most capable engineer. He had integrated ThoughtLock into Branch to ensure the security of its users' data collected from their bodies. He was Arbor's technical director, Organo technical hardware lead, and the key to Arbor's recent Branch breakthroughs. He disgusted Chambers, and she resented that she needed his mind. She blinked her ThoughtLock code into existence in her mind's eye. Blue triangle, power, tree, green sphere, black square, cat, and with a thought commanded her UD to send a response message, which populated instantly.
Send him up.
As CEO, she had been testing Branch for months before its release, though in a single day, she had mastered using her ThoughtLock code and mentally commanding her UD with the new tech. Standing at the stainless steel bar in the corner of her living room, she pulled out two glass tumblers and a decanter of liquid that glowed with caramel and golden hues from the bright light streaming in from outside. With the glasses and decanter in hand, Chambers sauntered over to the long quartz countertop that separated the living room from the kitchen. Her condo was enormous, especially by New York standards. It was a top-floor flowerbud Arco penthouse roost, one of the highest homes on Earth, with one of the most exorbitant price tags in the city and the world. She had designed it to have sharp corners, high walls, and metallic accents. The interior style highlighted her vibrant geometric paintings and AI-generated pixelated video loop flows of color on digital canvases that decorated her open living room. She relished that her home touched the heavens like the Tower of Babel in modern Babylon, and she was unworried about divine retribution.
There's no such thing as God,
she thought.
But even if there were, I'm about to expropriate his control on human evolution.
When her door chime rang, she mentally commanded Branch to lower the music volume and to display the picture from her front door security camera on her UD. It was Darden, the strap to his faux leather satchel slung across his chest. His scraggly long gray hair bounced with each step. Behind his tortoiseshell vizies, which sat askance on his beak-like nose, his eyes were pink and puffy. His baggy faded jeans were dirty from overuse and dried rings of salt encircled his armpits. Chambers' lip twitched as she examined his appearance. With his wealth, he could afford to look less like a slob. She opened the door.
LaDonna.
Remy.
Darden pushed past her into the living room and opened his satchel, rifling through its contents.
What's the matter?
She asked. He was red in the face and sweatier than usual. Despite being a master of technical minutiae, he could never grasp Chambers' grand vision of Arbor. She figured he was fretting on inconsequential details of an Arbor product.
Whatever's bothering you, let it go,
Chambers said.
These are exciting times. Thanks to you, Branch is about to be released. And to think that within the past decade, Arbor, a scrappy startup, cornered the market with UD Vizzies. We were the first to successfully sell glasses that mirrored UD screens in the lenses. That was our first step toward perfecting human-device integration. We pulled ahead of the AI companies like Meta and OpenAI, while they were focused on large language models and AI image generation. When Branch is released this week, our stock will skyrocket and we...
Darden interrupted.
I found a vulnerability.
What?
Darden pulled out a large manila envelope sealed with a string and stamped with the words proprietary and confidential in large block red letters.
Branch, I discovered a vulnerability. It's bad. I wanted you to know first.
Chambers glared at Darden as he waved the envelope in Chambers' direction. She set her tumbler on the counter with a huff, snatched the envelope from Darden, pulled the report out, and scanned it. Without asking permission, Darden went to the freezer, pulled out a handful of ice, and dropped it into one of the tumblers. He poured in liquid amber from the decanter on the countertop as Chambers read the report, then sat down on her $20,000 Mandarin orange couch.
We need to delay the release of Branch until it's fixed,
Darden said.
We have been saying it's unhackable, which isn't true.
Acidity bubbled in Chambers' gut. She peered over the top of the report at Darden, who slugged the liquor. She winced slightly as she imagined the sweat from his armpits and ass seeping into the couch's Italian suede.
The vulnerability involves how Branch sends data from the user's body to the UD.
Yes,
Darden replied.
In all our testing and analytical models, when a user thinks his or ThoughtLock code, the channel between Branch and the user's UD opens, which is how the UD receives the physiological data to display for the user. We thought that without activating Thought Lock, the channel allowing the user's data to leave Branch for a linked external device stayed closed, keeping it secure.
Darden gulped from the tumbler.
I know how it works.
She fought back the disdain in her voice.
What's the issue?
We found that it may be possible for a Thought Lock key signal to be faked, leaving the potential for that channel between Branch and the user's UD to be exploited.
Faked? How can a person's thoughts be faked?
It doesn't matter how. If the Thought Lock key is faked...
Chambers interrupted.
You're saying it's possible, but so what? This report just says that the risk of any code piggybacking undetectably into Branch's components is low, and the risk of exploitation is also low. That level of risk is acceptable.
Darden's eyes were alight with blood vessels like a storm of red lightning bolts, and he shot off the couch. Chambers stared at the dark oval on the cushion from Darden's sweaty back. She teethed her lower lip.
The risks may be low, but they exist.
He cast his eyes down in dejection.
I've poured so much of my life into Branch. I thought we had it.
This changes nothing.
Chambers stabbed the top of the report with her finger, trying to contain her frustration.
Come on, Remy, this is a time to celebrate. There's no need to worry. We'll still release Branch.
Darden lifted his eyes to meet Chambers' gaze.
We can't release it.
What the hell do you mean?
We can't release it,
Darden repeated.
That's what I came here to tell you.
The volume of Chambers' voice increased as her anger surged.
We are releasing it.
She pointed at Darden accusingly.
The tech is amazing. I have been texting without touching my UD all month. Arbor is on the verge of the biggest technological breakthrough in human history. We've waited years for this, toiled and fought to produce this tech for the greater good of society. Branch will be able to give exact diagnoses of diseases. It will detect heart attacks or cure cancer. People will live longer. Maybe those with means will live for hundreds of years. Instant translation from any language into any other. We will enhance human performance in every dimension of life. Our names will join the greatest innovators in history like the Wright brothers, Galileo, Steve Jobs, Sam Altman and Marie Curie. They'll remember that we accelerated the evolution of the human species.
Darden bellowed a laugh, eyes squinting behind the lenses of his vizies.
What's funny about that?
I'm not an idiot, LaDonna. You don't give a shit about me except that I've made you trillions of dollars. I know that when you say we, you mean just you.
His smile faded.
But we haven't done enough. We promised unhackable. It's people's bodies and brains we're talking about. Morally and ethically, Branch must be perfect. Can you imagine? The most personal, intimate information could be leaked onto the interweb. It could be misused by insurance companies, or worse, the government. Physiological doxing.
Cybersecurity is never perfect, you know that. The risks are low, according to your own report.
We must delay release.
It's conclusory.
Chambers waved the report in the air.
If I'm going to go along with your proposal, you must tell me where the full report with the technical information is.
She needed to lock down every copy of the report. If it were to leak, it could ruin her chance to achieve her dreams.
Besides this copy in my hand, I have the report on my home network for safekeeping. Didn't want anyone on the Organotech lab network to find it. But I'm warning you, if you don't delay the Branch release for us to fix the vulnerability, I'm done. Quitting.
The facade of cordiality dissolved.
Fucking quit then!
Chambers yelled.
I'm releasing Branch as scheduled.
Darden shook his head.
I knew I wouldn't be able to reason with you. You're unyielding, LaDonna. All you care about are Arbor's quarterly profits and getting new users. You've lost sight of the human concerns. I didn't want to give you this ultimatum, but you leave me no choice.
He paused.
If you don't stop Branch's release, I'll go to journalists and tell them the risks of using Branch. Then I will be at peace with all my contributions to a technology that could allow bad actors to steal the most sensitive data that ever existed.
Chambers' jaw dropped, and with eyes wide, she stared at Darden.
You're bluffing,
she said in a low voice.
You torpedo the company that you helped build, we'd be done. You'd destroy our legacy.
or it's your legacy, not mine. I just want a clear conscience.
You copied that report for insurance, didn't you?
Darden looked at his feet and nodded.
He has leverage over me,
she thought. Her fists clenched and toes curled in her silk and shearling loafers as her anger traveled to her extremities. Chambers tried to change strategies. She took a deep breath.
Tell you what,
she said with false calmness.
We can be reasonable, right?
Darden just stared, tapping his foot anxiously.
What you need is a vacation and a bonus.
Chambers took a long sip of her bourbon. The burn of the liquid calmed her as it trickled down her gullet.
You've done great work. What kind of bonus do you want? 10 mil? 20? I think I can swing it. What form? Bitcoin? Ether? Cash? Tokenized options? Sit on the sidelines for a while. I'll have the GC set up a bonus package for you. By tomorrow, you'll forget this conversation. Take the jet to Milan or Tokyo. After the public release, we can work on patching the vulnerabilities and optimizing the performance of Branch.
Darden set his tumbler on the counter and shook his head.
It's not about money. We are crossing a line. I won't be remembered as the person who allowed the harvest of intimate human data. It's cellular-level surveillance by a private company that could be used to manipulate people's thoughts or bodies in support of a hidden agenda.
He sighed.
People need to know.
He turned around and walked toward the door.
Don't you turn your back on me, Darden.
Chambers shuffled to Darden and grabbed his bicep.
Branch is about to trigger rapid human evolution, and I will vanquish anyone who tries to interfere.
The glare of Darden's vizies prevented Chambers from seeing his eyes.
Is that a threat?
It's not a threat, it's a promise. After everything I've done for you, you ungrateful fuck, I lifted you out of obscurity and made you into a tech king.
Darden ripped his arm away and pressed his jacket sleeves to smooth them as if they had not already been wrinkled.
All you care about is money and power. You used to hide it well under the self-righteous pretext of innovation. We will change the world, you'd say, and I believed you. Now I see that you're delusional, greedy.
Greed is a term used by the powerless who hate that success is best measured by money. I thought you knew that, Darden, but you're narrow-minded, weak, pathetic.
You may be right, but I've made peace with what I am, and now I'm going to make it right by telling the world about Branch.
You signed NDAs,
Chambers howled.
I will suffocate you in litigation. I will take everything you have. Nobody will remember you. Woe to the vanquished Darden, you're fucking done. I'll make sure you spend the rest of your life poor.
A mist of spit sprayed from Chambers' mouth. Darden stopped at the door and turned, frowning.
So, this is how it ends,
he sighed.
You have until the press briefing in 2 days to halt the release of Branch so we can fix the vulnerability. Despite your behavior, I'll stay on and help navigate this problem if you go that route.
Chambers could not restrain herself, and she swiped her tumbler from the counter and hurled it against the wall. It shattered like a ball of ice hit by a truck. Darden flinched as a framed portrait of Chambers fell to the ground.
Get out!
Slamming the door behind him, Darden left the penthouse. Chambers screeched with hate. The sinews of her neck stuck out like fat cords. She pressed her palms against her face and pushed her hands over her forehead until her fingers dug into her shiny, straight black hair. She strode to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and splashed water onto her face. She regarded herself in the mirror. Though she was in her 50s, her skin was tight with no wrinkles. Her hair, usually perfectly coiffed straight back over her cranium and behind her head, was hanging untidy over her skin-faded undercut. Her eyebrows, broad and dark like the severed wings of a baby crow, glistened over her eyes from the water.
After everything we've accomplished with Branch, we can't retreat.
She told her reflection, which spoke back to her in unison, as if it wanted to reinforce her resolve.
I won't let Darden interfere.
Potential solutions circulated in Chambers' head as she paced in front of the large rectangular windows with the view across the East River into Queens.
Too much is at stake.
She raced into her office, sat at her broad wooden desk, and tapped the surface of her large tile screen monitor. The computer's display awakened, showing a desktop interface with a naturescape and the arbor insignia as the wallpaper. She pulled open one of the drawers and removed a coin-sized disk, which she pushed into a port in the side of her Rubik's Cube-shaped computer. A small light on the thumb drive began to blink green. The computer display changed into a uniform royal blue with the image of a key made up of digits and letters in the background with the word Cryptograph IQ across the screen. A dialog box popped up. Welcome to Cryptograph IQ Layered Encryption Platform and Virtual Machine powered by QuantCat. If you're ready to protect your privacy, please provide your user signature and two-factor authentication. She followed the instructions, then tapped the privacy browser icon on the screen, which obfuscated her connection to the interweb through layers of virtual private servers and virtual private networks, encrypting all traffic inbound and outbound. After blinking her ThoughtLock code into existence in her mind's eye, she thought about the secure note in her UD where she stored the dark web address for DarkTasker, which populated her UD screen. She typed the information from the note into the Cryptograph IQ privacy browser. A new dialog box popped up. DarkTasker is a decentralized service that strives to protect your anonymity. To further prevent law enforcement surveillance, consider using LokiNet or Tor browsing applications, encrypted email services, or other obfuscation techniques. Notice: due to the nature of DarkTasker services, law enforcement may be monitoring Web5, interweb, and mesh network activity on the platform, and they may be attempting to track cryptocurrency payments. She navigated to a tab on the site that read, "Submit a task request," and began typing. After about 5 minutes, she had drafted a task proposal, encrypted its content, and posted it to the DarkTasker forum. Chambers sighed. Hiring a contractor to kill someone was as easy as ordering a pair of pants online. She marched back into the kitchen to pour herself another whiskey. She stared at the ring of perspiration on the counter from Darden's tumbler, then wiped it with a cloth. She gritted her teeth and looked at her couch, seeing Darden's sweat stain again.
I'm going to dump you like a toxic asset, Darden.
Offices and residential towers on the queen side of the river stabbed the sky like glassy stalagmite icicles. Arcology campuses with large eco-parks built into their roofs reminded LaDonna of the constantly evolving New York cityscape. It calmed her to gaze out the window at the city. When her UD vibrated in her hand, Chambers' focus returned to the present. She lifted her UD and, through Branch, mentally commanded it to open her Cryptograph IQ email application.
Request 215 ETW 664. Pomodoro accepted the task you submitted to DarkTasker with the following note. Job can be completed within the required 36-hour window. Clean. No traces of evidence. Destroy targets. Digital footprints. Price is 25 BTC deposit in DarkTasker escrow, which will be released upon completion of the job. Pomodoro. Chambers recognized the user's handle. She had contracted with Pomodoro for other sensitive services when there was no alternative. Pomodoro was good. Chambers inhaled sharply at the jarring price tag for the job.
25 Bitcoin. That's more than $8.5 million worth at today's prices.
She stared at the figure on the screen.
Darden wouldn't capitulate for 20 million, so now I can buy his silence for less than half that cost. It's worthwhile to protect Branch.
She reassured herself aloud. Her anger had subsided and had been replaced with callous dispassion. She had known Darden for years. He had made her trillions, but now he posed a grave threat to her company.
Branch must be perceived as unhackable.
This was a business decision, a transaction. As CEO of Arbor, Chambers had made many difficult decisions and conducted numerous transactions in the best interests of the company. She was a successful CEO because of her business acumen. She had made enemies. Impossible choices, sacrifices. Darden was just another one along the way. Two days later, an hour after the public release of Branch, she received confirmation. Chambers blinked her ThoughtLock code into existence and navigated to her Cryptograph IQ encrypted email service mentally. Two unread messages from Pomodoro sat in the queue. She opened the first one with a thought. Request 215 ETW 664. Job complete. Target's networks wiped. No traces left behind. See attachment for proof. Note, self-destruct mode enabled for this message. She mentally opened the second message. It was the preview image of a 10-second video. Darden lay on generic pavement. A red coin-sized hole in his forehead brimmed with pulpy wine-dark blood, streaking his face with rivulets and pooling around his cheek. His arms and legs were contorted in unnatural positions, like a mannequin haphazardly kicked from its display stand. LaDonna mentally commanded her branch to play the video. Darden stands in a New York alleyway only a body length away from the filming camera. Boulder-sized black trash bags rest in piles next to him, steamy vents spewing white clouds and puffs. His eyes seem expanded to their greatest extent with fear. His mouth is flat, his hands are held palms forward toward camera in a gesture of surrender. It was an efficiently executed task.
No, don't.
Flash, gunshot. Darden's arms fling backward as the first bullet struck near his sternum. Flash. Gunshot. His shoulders roll back with a second hit to his pectoral. Crimson blood dyes his wrinkled blue-collared shirt as if a spigot for red water underneath it had been turned on. Flash. Gunshot. His head whips like a car crash dummy with the impact of the bullet, which rips through his forehead, a misty red cloud floating momentarily behind his cranium. Darden's body tumbles backward. His body twists and he strikes the ground with a thud as the camera person walks up and frames the inanimate body, twitching from the headshot. The video freezes on its last frame.
Darden brought it on himself.
She thought,
Branch needs to be given to the world.
Chambers wanted to climb to the apex of success, power, and wealth. She wanted to go down in history as the parent of the technology that propelled human evolution. Branch would be her legacy. The proof of Darden's elimination disappeared after 30 seconds, at the exact moment a chime rang in her condo. She looked at a slate device mounted on the wall. Her assistant's face popped onto the screen.
M. Chambers,
her assistant said.
Your car is waiting to take you to tonight's event.
Okay,
she said, looking into the camera. The assistant nodded and the screen went dark. A sigh issued from Chambers' lungs. Darden was gone. The vulnerability would be forgotten. Branch would flourish in the literal hearts and minds of the people.
The next step of evolution warrants a night of celebration at the Pyramid Club.
Thanks for listening to the Digital Song Podcast. Please subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. All writing is 100% original and human imagined and created by me, Bantam Drexler. All editing and audio engineering done by me. Original music by me, augmented by Suno. Podcast voice audio generated using 11 Labs. Copyright Bantam Drexler. Follow me on any of the socials, at Bantam Drexler, or check me out at bantamdrexler.com. See you in the future.